Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
Hear now the word Lord from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Come now to this famous passage. We know this story all too well. We might be able to quote one of these passages. We might not know chapter 21, the Abimelech story, the treaty with Abimelech. But when it comes to chapter 22, we know this all too well. And tonight we'll be looking at this passage up to verse 14. And then next time we'll look at the last half of this chapter. Now, it comes to this passage, we're very blessed to have this passage, but also have the New Testament to help us understand this passage. So tonight I'll be looking at this passage and also passages in the New Testament to help this. The first that we see is testing through taking, and we also will look at this in James chapter 2. But after these things have taken place, verse 1 says, chapter 22, verse 1 happens after everything else that goes before this. Now, this could just mean after the end of chapter 21 with Abimelech and the treaty of Abimelech, or it can mean the whole section back to chapter 12. Now, I think it's more than just chapter 21. I think it actually after these things have happened, looking back to chapter 12. Chapter 12, we heard the call of Abraham, him leaving his family and his land, and going and being set apart by God. And then in the end of chapter 12 with Sarah and Abraham Egypt. And then chapter 13, Lot and Abraham separate. Abraham then rescues Lot from the four kings of the northeast. Chapter 14, and then the Melchizedek story, the covenant with Abraham in chapter 15. The question of who will be my heir? Is it going to be Eliezer of Damascus? And he says, "No, your very own son, the one from your loins, will be your heir." And he tells him to look up to the sky As far as the sky is, the stars in the sky, so too will be your children. Then chapter 16 happens, the great story of Sarah and Hagar. In chapter 17, with the story of circumcision and the promise of Isaac at the end of chapter 17. The promise of Isaac comes that there is going to be a son through Abraham and then through Sarah. But then, intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah, we know this story well, Lot and his daughters, Abimelech, and then the long-awaited birth of Isaac in the start of chapter 21. 25 years, a long time to wait, and his son finally comes. But then Ishmael is sent away. Ishmael and Hagar are sent away, and then finally the treaty with Abimelech. After these things, not just one of these things, after all of these things, now a period of over 25 years, we don't know how old they are at this point. Isaac is most likely a 15-year-old boy, maybe. He's old enough to carry wood. But after 25 years, he has the birth of Isaac, and then after 15 years. So from 75 to maybe 115, about a period of 40 years has gone by. After these things has passed. And after these things, it says that God tested Abraham. God tests the saints to grow them in perseverance and character, Romans 5 says. To grow the saint, in one sense. Or also to be able to show the growth of the saint in another. And this is really one of the last chapters about Abraham. This is one of the closing chapters. There's a little of a postlude after this winding down. But this is really one of the last stories of Abraham that we hear. We see this breaking with a genealogy coming towards the end. But here, God then comes to Abraham, which means the father of many. That's what his name means. And he comes to the father of many. He comes to test him. And he says to the father of many, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the mount land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So the father of many, take the son, the only son which you have, the son which you have waited for over 25 years for, over a period maybe about 40 years for, the son which I promised in chapter 12 that I would make you a great nation, and take him and go and then sacrifice him. Now this, I think, is one of the great tests of faith, not only just here in this passage, but throughout all of Scripture. One of the greatest tests I think you see in Scripture. For the longest time, God had told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will give you a son. I will make you great, your name great. Not only I will make you a great nation, but I will give you a son from your very own loins. I will give you and Sarah your very own son. Then in chapter 21, right? There's Ishmael laughing at Isaac. So what do they do? God tells him to send Ishmael away. So now he did have two sons, but now he only has one son. He sent the first son away, Ishmael. And God comes to him and tells him to go and sacrifice his only son. The question in Genesis 15, verse 2 was, what will you give me? I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And here, in chapter 22, God tells him to go and take his son and sacrifice him. After promising Abraham so much, now he tells Abraham to take his own son. Several times in this passage, we see Abraham taking things. All for the purpose of sacrificing his son. He says in verse 2, to take your son, your only son Isaac. And in verse 3, he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. In verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand fire and a knife. And in verse 10, he takes the knife to slaughter his son. And Abraham doesn't seem fazed at this at all. There's no questioning. In chapter 18, as God says, I'm going to go and destroy the land of Sodom, the city of Sodom, Abraham starts questioning him. Time and time again, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? But here in chapter 22, he just says, here I am. In previous chapters, he's doubted God's provision and he's doubted God's protection. He's cautious about going into different lands, like Abimelech, that they didn't fear God. And now, he just says, here I am. We know it is a test. For in verse 1, it tells us, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him. We're given this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. However, God did not say, I am testing you, Abraham. We understand this, but Abraham did not. He responds very quickly, very obediently. Early the next day, he gets up. He does not back down. But also note this, that it's not only he acted quickly, but quickly and then patiently. He got up early the next morning and started on his journey. And 3 days, he traveled with his son. 3 days he traveled with the firewood. I'm sure it was a very silent trip, a somber trip. As Abraham walked slowly in his old age, seeing the donkey saddled with the wood. But there was no bleating sheep in the background for the sacrifice. It was going to be his son. Two young men and his one and only son. Maybe even lying down at night, looking up at the stars, thinking about the promise God had made him. And yet his son sleeping beside him. Abraham, the father of many, has only one son at this point. Very somber as he traveled, as he tried to sleep at night, as he started to think about the many times God had spoken to him, even sharing a meal with him. Finally, he had the promise, and the promise in his hand of the son which God had told him he would come. I'm wondering if he'd ever hear these words again. Notice the emphasis throughout this passage of this intimacy between Abraham and Isaac. How often it brings up that Isaac is his son, or even the words uttered in verse 7 when Isaac said to his father, my father. Abraham turning and being able to answer him, here I am, my son. Behold, we have the wood and the fire. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That Abraham there knew what he was commanded to do, knew exactly what God had asked him to be able to do. Somber as he packed up ready for the trip, packed up the wood. But he also carried that knife 3 days, knowing in 3 days that he would use it on his son. We understand this is a test, but Abraham does not. This is reality. As he stands poised over his son, bound up upon this pile of firewood that he cut and packed and carried for 3 days. As he stood there with this knife that he had carried, had by his side, ready to be plunged into the seed of promise. And you can see why this is a great example of faith. Why we come back to this is how we are to be obedient. Three times Abraham's response is simply, here I am. That of Isaiah in chapter 6. Here I am, Lord, send me. In James chapter 2, James explains, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son, Isaac, on the altar? You see, faith was active along with his works. The faith was compelled by his works. For the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see, the person is justified by works, is not by faith alone. Here, Abraham shows the fruit of his faith, or the roots, which is found in faith, is the fruit of obedience in his life. And many sermons turn to this passage and require or point to obedience, and it's understandable. That's what James does in James chapter 2. That we're saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. And chapter 22 is really the fruit of chapter 15. And Abraham believed God, and he counted to him as righteousness. And sadly, many sermons, I think, rightfully preach this, but they just stay here with obedience. Many sermons then stop here, and it becomes a face your giant sermon, like the David and Goliath. What are your giants? And they ask the question, what are the Isaacs you need to sacrifice in your life? What are the things you're holding up you're not willing to give to God? Now again, there's some validity to that, but I don't think that's the ultimate purpose of this. The second thing we see is giving, still believing. Hebrews chapter 11. This shows Abraham's great faith through obedience, but I believe it shows his great faith in the promises and the power of God. The man who was fearful of death, who worried about going into the land that was controlled by Pharaoh and Abimelech, is not worried about death anymore. He tells the two young men in verse 5, stay here with the donkey and I, and the boys shall go over there and worship and come again to you. He explains that Isaac and Abraham will go over there and worship, and both of us will come back. In the author of Hebrews, Abraham's faith was not only obeying God's word, but also trusting in his promises. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, by faith, Abraham was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. He saw the promise of God that Isaac, through offering, that the promise that he said that through Isaac all your offspring shall be named, but also the power of God to be able to raise him from the dead. Then Abraham saw the Lord bring forth life from a barren woman. And he also believed that God could raise his son back from the dead. But this passage does show Abraham's great faith and great promises. But even there's an aspect with Isaac, is old enough to carry his own wood. Abraham probably is 115 years old. Isaac, in some ways, is obedient to his father, trusting in his father. I'm sure many times before this time, Abraham and Sarah had told him the many stories. Now God had promised that he would send you into our family. That once we had tears in our home, but now we laugh because you are with us. Here Isaac sees his dad walking up to a mountain and asks, Where's the lamb? But I think we just see his obedience and his trust in these great promises. These are very important things. But I think we miss the most important part of this passage, which is providing by himself. Three times in this passage, it said that the Lord will provide. Abraham, right at the end, does not call this mountain in verse 14. Does not call this Abraham's great faith. Does not call this Abraham's great obedience. Or the place where I passed the test. He calls this mountain, the Lord will provide. He points to the Lord's provision. That sweet sound in Abraham's ear as the angel of the Lord called down from heaven. And he said, Father of many, Father of many, do not lay a hand on that boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And as Abraham now lifted up his tear-filled eyes and lowered the knife down back to the side of his hip, he unbinds his son and he looks up, and in the thicket he sees a ram. Abraham went and he'd taken the wood, he'd taken his son, but now he takes the ram and he offers it up as a burnt offering. And when Isaac had asked, where is the lamb? Can you remember Abraham's response? He said, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. This is exactly what He did in chapter 15. The word ram is used once before in the Bible, found in chapter 15, verse 9, when God tells Abraham to go and bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, and a ram, 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And in chapter 15, when God makes this covenant with Abraham, the two carcasses, the halves of the carcasses lying either side of each other, a covenant, when they make this agreement, they say, let this happen to you if you break this covenant. Let this happen to you and your children if you break this covenant. So as the carcasses are separated, so too your bodies will be. Now, Abraham was not always obedient. He was not always faithful. But if you remember in chapter 15, with this covenant, where was Abraham? On the side sleeping. He didn't walk through the ram. God did. There's a smoking pot and a flaming torch. And God said, let this happen to me instead of you and your offspring. I will bear the curse of the covenant. And here on the top of Mount Moriah, the Lord provided the ram. And the gospel can be found in this passage. You might be able to look at this and some people say, well, it's his only son. This is where Isaac is a type of Christ. But I think this gospel is found in one word. In one word in verse 13. He sees this ram caught in the thickets. Abraham takes this ram and he offered up this burnt offering instead of his son. In that word, instead, is the gospel. Substitution. The ram then takes the place of his son whom he should have sacrificed. Now, for those reading before Christ, they understood that Isaac represented Israel. Isaac represented the offspring, the nation to come. But here, God then provides a ram for them as a substitute. And every time they saw a lamb substituted, sacrificed, they think of this word instead. Think of the Passover lamb that was sacrificed. And the blood was spilled and spread around their doors. That lamb died instead of them. The Lord provided for Isaac. The Lord provided for Israel through the death of this lamb. Not only this image of Isaac and the lamb, but this image of where they actually are. Mount Moriah will actually become a very pivotal moment and place in the Israel's history. It is here on the top of Mount Moriah that the temple which Solomon built. In 2 Chronicles 3:1, we find out that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. That here, time and time again, the Lord will provide. Every year, the high priest would come and make an offering in the place that Isaac should have been offered. But the Lord provides. And again, the Lord provides through them another sheep. This is why it is called the Lord will provide. Or even in verse 14, it says that as it is known to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. It is translated the Lord provided, but more accurately, I think it should be more the Lord will see it through. The Lord will see it through. Abraham rightly said in verse 8, whether he knew it or not, God will provide for Himself a lamb. And when Jesus Christ came, and John the Baptist saw Him, John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Here, the image of Isaac and then the lamb comes instead of his son. And here now, Jesus comes instead of our sins, to take away our sins. Jesus rose from the dead, rose from His baptism, and the Greek translation is almost word for word from this passage in chapter 22, verse 2. Matthew records a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And this is almost word for word from Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. "Take your Son, your only Son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah." That God did not consider Himself. He walked through those animals and He took and bore the curse upon Himself. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all." Hear that word, "instead." His Son takes our place. Oh, we ought also with Him graciously give us all things. What did Abraham give up? He basically gave up 3 days of his life. Maybe a few sleepless nights. But in the end, the Lord came through. The Lord provided for Abraham. Just as He said He would do in chapter 15 to fulfill His covenant. He would take the place for His curse. He would give up His only Son. The ram was merely just a type, a placeholder, a shadow pointing to Christ, who would come and die in the place for His people. Jesus was the promised seed to come who would fulfill that promise in Genesis 3, the snake crusher. And as Matthew points out at the start of Matthew with his genealogy, Abraham was the father of Isaac. And Isaac, the father of Jacob. How short would that genealogy be if he had not provided through Jesus the sacrifice to come? The promise would have stopped. But thanks be to God that He provided the ram, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. George Whitfield, in a sermon, Abraham's offering up his son Isaac, said, "Isaac is saved, but Jesus, the God of Isaac, dies. A ram is offered up in Isaac's room, but Jesus has no substitute. Jesus must bleed. Jesus must die. God the Father provided this lamb for Himself from all eternity. He must be offered in time. A man must be damned forevermore. And now, where are your tears? Shall I say, refrain your voice from weeping? No. Rather, let me exhort you to look to Him whom you have pierced, and mourn as a woman mourneth over her firstborn. For we have been the betrayers. We have been the murderers of the Lord of glory. And shall we not betwail those sins? We brought the blessed Jesus to the accursed tree, having so much done, so much suffered for us, so much forgiven, that shall we not love much? Oh, let us love Him with all of our hearts, our minds and strength, and glorify Him in our souls and bodies, for they are His. Here we see in this passage this gospel image of the Lord providing in this word instead, this ram coming to take away our sins. The right really, Israel knows that they should be in Isaac's position. But yet the Lord provides a ram. And so too for us. What is the wages of sin? It's death. But yet God provides us a ram. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Or as we sung this morning in How That Great Thou Art. But when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Here we see the Lord providing through ordinary means, through a ram in the thicket, but pointing forward to Christ, the One who is to come to take away the sins of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You and realize right from the start that You promised that One would come that would crush the head of the serpent. That You promised through Abraham that You would indeed bear the curse for us. But even here, we see Your great provision through providing a ram to die in Isaac's place. Lord, we thank You that You came to die as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. Lord, let us never forget that great substitution. Let us never forget what You have taken from us with our sin and given to us through Your righteousness imputed to us. Lord, thank You for providing for us because we could not do it ourselves. Lord, let us live each day of our lives with this mindset of this great gift of Jesus given for us. Lord, let us hate our sin and cling to You all the more. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.